Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
Because of the events of the candles and the nets, I spent a fair amount of time, it's just been kind of rolling around in my head, what makes church different than other social or civic organizations that we could participate in, athletic competitions, what makes us distinct? And I think it's because when we look at the life in which, the world in which we live, the circumstances, the uncertainty, the turmoil, the joys, that our faith, our church helps define or helps add understanding to the events that surround our life. We live as a faith community. That means that we live with an expectation or with an optimism that God is doing something in and through us. That our lives are not just a series of random events that just kind of wash across our lives, but that our lives are being shaped by the weekly events. If we're aware of them, if we open up ourselves to those events, we participate in what God is doing. And so when we look at situations like, you know, the amount of malaria in the world, if we look at things like world hunger, it is so easy, and many people fall into this temptation of just throwing up their hands and saying, what good is my little gift? And yet, as believers and as a church, we believe that as we come together, God is doing something. When we add our part to the story that God is doing, that we really can change the world. We believe that. We believe that God has already begun a good work, and we, as members of the church, we get to participate in it. That you're here this morning because God is drawing you into that story and saying, let me do a good work through you. Let me change the world through you. As we become united together in our values and our causes, we recognize that God has started a good work and we are carrying that banner forward. As a result, we've been talking about our faith, a faith that is not just wishful thinking, but a faith that really helps us become the people that God wants us to be. I believe in this statement, that faith is not a crutch that we lean, it is a truth that we live by, not a crutch that we lean on. Many people think of their relationship to God much the way they would think of a parachute. We're glad to know that it's there, we just never hope that we have to use it. And sometimes people become part of what we're trying to do by saying, I'm glad I'm part of it, I just hope I never have to actually use it. And yet they're missing out on the miracle that is unfolding before us. They miss what God is trying to do. We often fail to make the connection of faith from the head to the heart. We fail to understand that what faith is, and maybe you can regurgitate what God is and what God says, but how does it influence your day-to-day life? How will tomorrow be different because of the faith that is growing today? Every seed, when it is sown, spontaneously begins to set roots. Faith, when it comes into our lives, spontaneously begins to grow. And so we've been talking about the five different ways that you can have a faith that is part of your everyday life. It's growing, it's flourishing, and it's vital. We started by talking about the first thing that is essential, having a practical Bible study, making sure that the story God is telling is relevant to your life, connecting the stories that God is telling to the stories that we find on CNN, the Wall Street Journal, and in our local news. How is God's story being played out around you all the time? You have to begin to see that to say, is it relevant to the life that I live? And it is. The second thing that we need is we need some kind of providential relationships. People that inspire us and propel us to take a chance, that will walk that journey with us, that when we struggle and we're uncertain, they're there behind us cheering us, saying, you can do one more step. And they propel us into a different world. But there comes a point in all of our lives where it must become personal. We have to own our faith. And you'll hear people say things like this. They'll say, and then I began to pray for myself. Maybe you pulled up to a stop sign or a red light, and you just said, thank you, God, for this beautiful day. Just spontaneously, you began to do it on your own. Or you went home and you just said, I'm just going to start reading a little of the Bible about God's story. You began to do it on your own. It became personal. But like every great motivation, there comes a point where you have to take that. If you have a car that has the engine and you have a can of gasoline, if you want to go anywhere, you've got to put the two together. There comes a point in your life where your faith has to take action. You have to find out, where is your heart bursting at the seams? Where is God moving in your life and said, you can make a difference here? We have to find a personal ministry where God can work through us. And we have to commit to it. Through the good times and the bads, we have to struggle through it. We have to continue. And so our faith begins to grow and it begins to flourish. But if, for many of you that have lived in, well, in West Virginia your whole lives, you'll know that whenever a windstorm comes through, it almost always reveals where the weak limbs are and where the weak trees are. Trees that don't put down deep roots. They tend to grow well, but they're very shallow. And when the winds come, they topple and take power lines and houses and everything else with them. As we gather as a community, there's one thing that we know as mature adults, and that is the winds of change will come. They will come. They're going to come. The question is, how do you prepare for them? Will you put down serious roots? And so we come to the final stage. We come to the final moment. What is the thing that will help your faith grow in ways that you can't even imagine? Pivotal circumstances. Those moments that reveal what's on the inside. What's really true will become flourish on the outside. See, so many times we think of faith and we think of it in terms of wishful thinking. And faith that is tested is faith that reveals something about you and the world in which you live. I love this quote by Emerson. It says, all I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen. When we go through times of uncertainty, it reveals part of who God is and what God is doing. And so we begin to understand that God is working in a new way. This morning we're going to read a passage from Mark chapter 6. It's a story of Jesus revealing something about himself to his disciples. And I want to set the stage for this passage. Prior to this passage, Jesus has been preaching, and it's the feeding of the 5,000. And we know from the story that in those days, they counted primarily the men. So we can assume that Jesus is surrounded by somewhere, probably when you count women and children, maybe somewhere in the 15,000 to 20,000 range. A huge number. And the disciples are just beside themselves. How are we going to feed these people? And Jesus said, well, what have you got? Let's multiply it. Let's take our blessings and let's share it, and there will be enough for every and overflowing. And so they see this, a miracle of abundance, and they're going, go team. And then an amazing thing happens. I want you to see how Mark reveals this passage. This is a passage for us as well. Would you join with me as we share what's on the screen? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Immediately, right after the feeding, immediately Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to Bethsaida, while He dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, He went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and He was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, He went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by, but when they saw Him walking on the lake, they thought He was a ghost. They cried out because they saw Him and were terrified. Immediately He spoke to them and He said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then He climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, bless our time together. May your word take root in our lives. May it strengthen our resolve and grow our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. If you notice the way Mark begins this passage, after the miracle of the loaves, he says, immediately he put them into the boat. Immediately they went into the boat. Right after this miracle, they go into the boat and he goes up on the mountainside. As they go out into the middle of the lake, when it says that they were straining at the oars and the wind was against them, it's a polite way of saying there was a storm going on. They're in the middle of the lake. They don't know where they are. And I wonder if in your own life story, if you have ever had that experience where you feel so alone and so vulnerable that everything else around you seems choppy. There's no land. There's nothing solid for you to get a foothold on. Everything, you're straining with all of your might, and everything seems to be going against you. You're torn, you're at the mercy of the winds, and you kind of are saying, where is Jesus? Where is God in all of this? What's going on? We just had this great miracle. I thought He was the one, and here we are all alone and vulnerable. If you haven't had an experience like that, God bless you. But I hope that you learn that those times come. They do come. And they're part of strengthening who we are and what we believe about ourselves and the life in which we live. Again, part of what we do as a community is we rally together to recognize the truth about the life that we live. We encourage one another in the times of grief, and we celebrate the times of joy because they go hand in hand. The greatest fear is for some people to look only to one side of the equation, that life is all bad or that it is all good. It's a mix, and we learn to walk that journey as mature spiritual beings. The story about going out on the lake and Jesus walking to them has several things that are important to us as we grow in our faith. The first thing that we want to try and get out of that is that trials invite trust. Trials invite trust. I thought about that this week, and I actually thought about rephrasing that of saying trials create trust, but that's not the case. They invite it, but they don't produce it. I have had so many situations where when trials come, people just will fall apart. Their faith will just melt away and say, well, this just proved one more proof that God doesn't care about me, and I give up. It invites us to cry out, to recognize our vulnerability, and to go deeper. I love this passage, the way Jesus says this to his disciples. It says that the disciples saw something that they weren't ready for. They were ready for Jesus to feed 5,000. They're ready to see him cure people and dispel demons. But when they're out in the middle of the lake, the last thing that they expected is for Jesus to come walking across the lake. They never saw that before, and it revealed a different side of Jesus. And so they cry out in terror, "I don't know what's going on. We're going to die." And I love the way Jesus says this. He said, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Now, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I often heard that phrase kind of changed slightly, and I bet you have too. I remember when I was a small boy, when you're growing up, did you ever have like little moments of childhood that you can remember with utter clarity? Most of it's kind of vague, but they're just little snippets of story that you remember. When I was growing up, fireworks used to just terrify me. I mean, just the big booming things when I was just little. And I remember one time when we lived in Pennsylvania, the fireworks were going off near our home. And I remember running in and just getting on my bed and almost trying to pull the pillow over my head so I couldn't hear this at all. I was just terrified by the noise. I didn't know what was happening. The whole house was rumbling, the whole thing. And I remember my mother coming in and really kind of laying down beside me and saying literally this, "Calm down, it's okay, I'm here." Have you ever had that experience where maybe somebody, maybe you did it, maybe your child did it, they went out and they scraped their knee and there's a little bit of blood. But for a child, it's their life is ending. All their life force is coming out their knee, and in a couple of moments, there'll be a puddle of blood around them and life is ending, right? Because they don't understand. And what do? They come in just squealing in terror. Life is ending. Fix this. And what do mothers do? Calm down. It's okay. I'm here. I think on this Mother's Day, as we think about those pivotal circumstances, we understand that there are those moments when somebody steps into our life and says, "It'll be okay. It's going to be okay. I am with you. Don't lose sight that I am with you." And I believe that the God that we love and the God that is Spirit has sent us prophets, or on a day like today, if you don't mind, prophetesses, special women that step into our lives. Maybe they're your mother. Maybe they're a neighbor or a friend. Maybe they're part of your church family that steps in at a moment when you're breaking, your heart is breaking, and they say things like, "Calm down, it's okay, I'm here." It develops a sense of trust. I can weather that storm. They're going to be there for me. And so it gives you the courage to step out, to venture and to try new things. And God wants your faith to grow. He wants it to bloom. He wants it to blossom. And so if you're going through a trial right now, if you're struggling, if there are some unseen winds that are buffeting and you feel like you're pulling those oars for all that they're worth, know that God knows right where you are. It says in the passage that Jesus could see them struggling. He knew them. It isn't like Jesus is going, "I don't know what they're up to. They ought to be on land by now. I know where they're at." And he goes to them. He goes to them. Wherever you are, whatever struggles that you're facing, God knows where you are, but there's something that he wants to reveal about you and about himself. He's inviting you to a deeper sense of trust. If you ever want to talk to people that have a deep, abiding faith, that have real strength about them, it's usually because they've gone through a lot of struggles themselves, and they know from experience that there is nothing that they can't overcome. It invites trust. Secondly, it invites growth. It invites growth. If you've ever known people that as they grow up, that wonderful time of our lives called adolescence. Adolescence is that wonderful phase in life that we're glad that we're all out of. When you're an adolescent, you're Superman. There's nothing that you can't do. You're immortal. There's nothing that you can't, you know, and you're brilliant from experience, right? Parents are really stupid at that phase, and you are the wisest person on earth. Have you ever known adults that get stuck in that phase? Sometimes we grow because it adds a dimension of humility. You see, sometimes we think, we can do everything. Look at all of my wealth, all of my power, all of my prestige. There's nothing in this world I can't do or I can't have. Until you face a hurricane, or you face a medical illness, or you face a broken relationship and you recognize all of us have limits to our power. See, I love this passage that it says, the world is full of suffering, but it's also full of overcoming it. The strength to persevere. Perseverance isn't just hanging on. Sometimes we can be too afraid to let go. Perseverance is hanging on because you know God is with you. God has a plan. In good and bad, God has a plan. It helps us to grow. And finally, trials invite maturity. It helps us see the world as it is. We don't live in a fantasy world. This is not Disney, if you haven't guessed it already. This is the real world where truth comes to life. I love this passage from James. James says it the best. He says, you know that under pressure, your faith is forced out into the open. And it shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. It forces it out into the open. It reveals what's underneath. It takes what is hidden and it exposes it to the truth. I saw a quote this week and it said something like this. It said that in the darkness, if you live in darkness, there are no decisions, there are no choices, because everything looks the same in the dark. It's only when it is revealed by the light that we see things as they truly are and we can make a choice. But that light of the world is Christ. In Christ, you have a choice. You have the ability to invite a deeper faith. The people that we admire for their faith, the public people, people like Mother Teresa, people like Nelson Mandela, people like Martin Luther King Jr., these are people that had suffered horribly in many cases. Mother Teresa was often depressed about her life, but she persevered and she had a serenity about her life that we admired because she had gone through those trials. She had a deep abiding faith. So when you think about your own faith journey, we're not here to give you faith, we're here to enable your faith to flourish. I want you to think of these five keys to your faith. First of all, do you need more practical Bible teaching? Is the Bible relevant to tomorrow morning? Will it shape the decisions of your day? Do you need some providential relationships, people that believe in you and can propel you from status quo to faithful living? Have you begun the private disciplines, begun to take ownership and said, I can pray for myself, I can read the Bible for myself? Have you begun to find your personal ministry where God is asking, I want to work through you, I want to reveal how the power that I have within you can pour out through your veins and through your hands? And finally, are you going through some testing now? A pivotal moment that will either draw you closer to what God is doing or make you fall farther away. Where are you in your growing faith? The one thing that you can't do, the one thing that you can't do is remain stagnant. Any tree will either grow or it will die. In your own faith journey, you're either going to put down some roots or you're going to begin to die. We want you to grow. And when I look at these candles, I am excited to know that we're growing. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the mission and the ministry. We thank you for the opportunities and for the faith that makes us who we are. Bless us, O God, as we grow in faith together. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.